Take your Bibles now, go to the book of Jonah. Jonah. Book of Matthew, and work your way back. You'll run into it eventually. Jonah, chapter number 1. We'll be reading 3 verses in chapter 1. Actually, 4 verses, and then 1 verse in chapter number 3. I'll instruct you when we get there. Jonah, chapter 1, we'll read the first 3 verses responsively. We'll read 2 other verses. Jonah, chapter 1, verse number 1, the Bible says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." Read with me verse number 17 of chapter number 1, last verse of chapter number 1. Begin. "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights." We'll also read together Jonah chapter 3, verse number 4. Jonah chapter 3, verse number 4, the Bible says, "And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much, Lord, for all that you do for us. Lord, we love you, and we just appreciate, Lord, the things that you've done for us, Lord, and the things you've done through this ministry here. Lord, tonight, we need something special. Lord, we need your Holy Spirit's power to rest upon this place, Lord. We ask that you take this truth that's been prepared for us, Lord, and to speak to our hearts. Lord, it would encourage us. Lord, it would motivate us. It would convict us, and it would strengthen us, Lord, to do more for you. Lord, thank you for a man of God, Lord, that preaches your word. Lord, we ask tonight, Lord, you'd use him. Fill us with your power as we listen. We ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. We have all heard the story of Jonah, or at least part of the story of Jonah in his life. I laugh at the story of Jonah. I was a bad parent. In many ways, I was a bad parent, but when my oldest, I won't tell you who he is, even though he's on the platform, when he was little, we were in South Carolina, and of course we lived, half hour, 40 minutes from the ocean. And one day I caught him doing something. I just had all I could take. I said, "Good night." I said, I told him the story of Jonah, how Jonah disobeyed God and God had a whale prepared to swallow him up. And I shouldn't have done it. I said, "I'm going to go out and find that whale." And I stood up to walk out and opened up the door, and he's screaming and crying. So I thought, man, that worked. It got him, you know. And others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by. So for about a year that worked. I'm going to go find that whale. "No, Daddy, no, Daddy, no." So he was scared. No wonder he hates the ocean. But anyway, he say, "You shouldn't have done it." But it worked for about a year. You try anything, amen? Here is, you say, "You shouldn't have done that." I shouldn't have, but I did it, all right? I confess my sins, all right? Jonah was a preacher. Jonah was a preacher of righteousness. Jonah would have been much like somebody that you or I would have gone to hear preach. But the day came where God came to Jonah and said, "Jonah, I want you to leave where you are, and I want you to go to a place that you don't want to go, a place called Nineveh." Nineveh was a nasty place. That would be like God coming to me saying, "I want you to go to San Francisco and preach." That's about what Nineveh was like. It was a dirty, filthy, nasty, sinful place. And Jonah said, "I ain't going." And God said, "No, you're going to go, Jonah. I need somebody to go, because if somebody doesn't go there and people don't get saved in 40 days or so, I'm going to destroy the entire city." Jonah said, "Go ahead, I'm not going." And Jonah argued with God so much that he went down, got in a ship, and instead of going to Nineveh, he went to Joppa and got on a ship to go to Tarshish, which was the total opposite direction. Instead of going down towards Nineveh, which was it was actually in the Iraq area, he decided he was going to go over to Greece. He was going the total opposite direction. Now, we know the story. By the way, before you get too mad at Jonah, listen up. We know that while he was traveling, a storm came up. The storm was so bad that they were throwing everything off the ship. And Jonah said, I know why it's so bad. If you just throw me overboard, God won't judge you for it. And he'll kill me and it'll be okay. And they didn't want to do that. And they tried for hours. And finally they said, throw him over. We're going to die. Might as well let one die rather than all of us. And they threw Jonah over. And the Bible says God had prepared a whale, a great fish, and swallowed up Jonah whole. And the Bible says that the storm ceased for those on the ship. And Jonah spent 3 days and three nights in the belly of that whale. You say, why? Because that whale had to swim over to where Nineveh was, or near where it was at. God kept Jonah alive in the belly of that whale for 3 days and three nights. If you read the book of Jonah, Jonah was alive and awakened there. He wasn't passed out. He wasn't dead and God revived him. He was praying while he was in that whale belly. I bet you I'd have been praying too. Can you imagine how wonderful that smelled? You know what the ocean smells like with all the death. Can you imagine what the inside with all those stomach juices and everything else? I mean, it's pretty rancid. And by the way, there are five accounts in world history in the last 100 and some years of people who've been swallowed by whales alive and that have lived to tell about it. It's not something that just happened one time. But he is there 3 days and three nights. The Bible says that the whale got sick and spit him up on the ground. Now, nothing will make you more sick than a backslidden Baptist preacher. That old whale couldn't take it and spit him up on the ground. And the Bible says from where he landed to where Nineveh was normally a 3 days journey. But Jonah made it in one day. I can imagine why. It is said that probably Jonah was never the same thereafter. Anybody that's survived that, their skin is bleached and all of the pigment in their skin and their hair is taken out. And they're almost like an albino from that point on. The acids from that whale's stomach would literally have caused the pigmentation in his skin to be gone forever. Now, we know that story. Jonah then preaches. He gets up and preaches the greatest citywide revival in world history ever before or ever since. The Bible says everybody that could understand their right hand from their left got saved. The entire city. There was 120,000 under the age of understanding the right hand from the left. Bare minimum, it was a city of 500,000 people. Think about that. That's a city the size of Baltimore, Miami, Atlanta. I mean, a massive city. And yet, how long was he gone? You have to understand, Jonah took a day traveling away from God's will. He was in the belly of the fish 3 days. Then he was gone for another day while he traveled back to Nineveh. 5 wasted days. Here's the part of the story that may change your thinking. I wonder how many people died in those 5 days and went to hell because Jonah disobeyed God. I wonder how many people in a city of 500,000 people died and went to hell because a backslidden preacher wouldn't go preach. From all of my research, and I've looked up numbers, On an average day in a city of 500,000 people, 20 people a day die. That means at least 100 people died and went to hell while Jonah was running away from God. What a tragedy. 100 people never got saved, who probably, according to Scripture, because the whole city got saved, would have gotten saved. Let me ask you a question. How many people have died and gone to hell because of our lack of obedience? How many heartaches have gone uncarried and uncared for because we're unwilling to go? I wonder how many people have literally passed into eternity that we have passed by because we're too afraid to say something, they died and went to hell. I wonder how many families have broken up because we didn't go knock on their door. My dad will tell you the story if you want. He and his pastor in Indiana were going out soul winning one night, knocked on the door. A man asked him to come in. Couldn't believe it. When they walked in, the guy had a loaded pistol sitting on the coffee table next to a Bible. And he said, I'm sitting here ready to blow my brains out because I don't have any hope. And the pastor, my dad said, let me have that gun. My dad took the gun and the preacher took the Bible and won that man to Christ. I wonder if that man would have died and gone to hell that night had two people not been willing to obey God and knock on the door. I wonder what home won't have a mama or a daddy because they decide to break up because we don't go. I don't know about you, but that bothers me. How long's it been since you obeyed God? I'm not talking about being a preacher. I said in my Sunday school class this morning, I don't believe everybody ought to be in the ministry full time. If God didn't call you, don't get in. If I can talk you out of it, you're not in, all right? But if God called you, don't run from it. It's okay. I believe we'll have a higher percentage of our young people who will go into the ministry. They're not going to come from the world. They're going to come from the church. It just makes sense, does it not? So we're going to see more and more of our young people go into the ministry. Yes. But I don't believe every one of them are supposed to be in the ministry. Now, let me just talk to you for a moment. I wonder how many people may die and go to hell because we're afraid to obey. Well, preacher, I'm not sure I could do it. If I can do it, anybody can do it. Trust me. Will you take time to give the gospel out? Will you walk out tonight and grab a handful of gospel tracts and at least hand somebody a gospel tract this week? There are times it's inappropriate to stop somebody and witness. I get that. Somebody's on the job, you got to be careful. I get that. But you can hand them a gospel tract. You can say, hey, if you're not sure how to go to heaven, you read that and do what it says. It'll show you how you can know for sure. Hey, that's witnessing. That's getting the gospel out. I'll take that. I get phone calls from time to time from somebody who has passed out a gospel tract and they said they got saved and called the number and called the church. Had it happen to a truck driver. He called me from the road, somewhere down the road, and called Mrs. Barnes, and he said, yeah, somebody from your church stopped me and I wouldn't get saved, but I went down the road and read this thing and just wanted somebody to know that I did what it said. You never know what's going to happen. I wonder, will you go out soul winning with us? If you can't go out on Thursday night or on Saturday morning, you call us when you can. We'll go out. Amen, Brother Josh? I'll find somebody to go with you. Don't worry. We'll take time to teach you how to win somebody to Christ. Everybody in here is smart enough to learn how to win somebody to Christ. It's not real hard. I don't care if you're the youngest person in this room. You're just about old enough to win somebody to Christ. If you can read, you can win someone to Christ. It's that simple. Can I tell you something? You don't get them saved anyway. You just show them the gospel. It's between them and God. Well, I don't know if I could know what to say. It's not real hard. If I can do it, anybody can do it. And I've been doing it for a long, 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 long time. We'll teach the time to take you and we'll go with you. But I wonder how many will say, well, I'm too shy to tell somebody, and you're going to let somebody die and go to hell. I wonder how many people will be in hell because we did not talk to them. I don't know about you, but that thought scares me. Well, I'm too shy. You're looking at one of the most shy people you've ever met in your life by nature. Now, I know you don't believe that right now, but I was a pretty shy kid. I was one of those kids that failed oral book reports because I wouldn't get up and give them. I took a zero and passed the class elsewise. I didn't want to get up and talk in front of everybody. You say, what happened? God called, amen? Jonah could have had at least 100 more people saved had Jonah not wasted 5 days. Jonah could have had at least 100 more people whose lives would have been changed for eternity had he just obeyed God. I don't mean to be rough with this statement, but Jonah only wasted 5 days. How many days have we wasted? Next, how many families will go unreached by our wasted days? How many families will go unreached by our wasted days? Did you know that Satan's system of this world is doing its best to destroy the home and families? This world's system is trying to destroy families. The government wants to be God of your home. And by the way, the moment you enroll them in public schools, the government looks at them as their kids, not your kids. Be careful. May I say this? Everybody here knows somebody's family that needs this church. Everybody in this room knows somebody's family who could use a church just like this. Well, then how about we go reach them? If you won't do it, put their name on a card and their address and I'll go see them. Doesn't bother me a bit. How about you invite them? How about you beg them? How about you beg God that they'd listen to you and come? But everybody knows somebody that needs a church like this church. We need to reach out and find new families, and they need us as much as we need them. That means we ought to go soul winning. Everybody in here has got neighbors. Many of you have friends and family outside of this church. That's fine. Some of you have coworkers that would listen to you, maybe come to church if you just invite them. Say, oh, you don't know the crowd I work with. Have you ever invited them? I found out usually the roughest and the toughest are the easiest ones to get in. That guy that's got the foul mouth probably is just waiting for somebody with enough guts to present the gospel to him before they get saved. Everybody doing all right? Oh, you know, I've met some pretty rough critters. I've talked to some pretty rough characters. Can I tell you what? Let my wife go soul winning. She'll talk them down in a heartbeat. Man, she gets away with saying things I'd never say to a man. He'd punch my legs out. He'll take it from her. You see, Jonah didn't care enough about the families to even want to go help them. He did not care enough about the families in Nineveh. He decided he'd leave and go the total opposite direction. How criminal. Let me ask you a question. How many times have we turned and gone the opposite direction? Everybody doing okay? Number three. How many of us rely on someday somebody needs to do that? Yeah, somebody should go tell my neighbors. Somebody should go tell them. Somebody should go soul winning there. May I say something? That book wasn't just written to preachers. It wasn't. Did you know that soul winning's not just for pastors and assistant pastors? Did you know that every Christian is supposed to go soul winning, not just the preachers? It's our job. It's our duty. Did you know it's not just for the bus workers? Did you know that soul winning's not just for Sunday school teachers? And I think Sunday school teachers ought to be soul winners. It's not just for nursery workers. And I think nursery workers ought to be soul winners. You say, why? Because you're going to deal with mamas and daddies and their little ones. You ought to be soul winners. And you ought to try to fill up that nursery. We're doing a pretty good job. We had 7 or 8 kids in there today. Man, it's getting crazy in there. Thank God I'm not in there. It's not just for deacons and trustees. And I think deacons and trustees ought to win people to the Lord. I think they ought to get the gospel out. Everybody doing okay?
Amen.
It's not just for those who sing in special music. And I think special music people, you'd have more of the power of God on you when you sing if you'd go soul winning. It's for every saved person. That's what Mark 16:15, that we take the gospel to every creature. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18, 19, and 20. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Hey, that's the Great Commission. Acts chapter 20, and from house to house. I said something this morning. God doesn't have anything in the Bible about taking surveys. That's man playing God. Well, we have a higher percentage of people get saved that we go back and talk to. Folks, I've said it before. You let me decide who's going to get saved based off of a piece of paper, I'm going to guess it wrong. I know this. God never gets it wrong when you just present the gospel when you're at the door. That's results-minded, not obedience-minded. The guy that I think's going to get saved at the door, usually he's the one that slams it in my face. The one that comes, it looks like he got in a fight with a Popovit gun. Rolled over in a tattoo parlor while he was drunk one night, and everybody, tattoo parlors in the world, operated on him. Those are usually the guys that say, yeah, I'd like to do that. The guy that looks like he eats old ladies for breakfast and old men for lunch usually is the guy that gets saved. The guy in a shirt and tie is the one that gets snotty with you and slam the door in your face. So if we're going to judge who gets saved and who's not, you're trying to play God. I wonder how many people will go unreached because we just don't go. Did you know if you aim at nothing, you'll hit it? Too many Christians aim at nothing and they just kind of vacillate through life. Well, I don't know how to win them, preacher, but I can get you to them. Load up, let's go. I'll go with you. I'll talk. Doesn't bother me. You say, well, this one's pretty mean. They don't make them too mean for me. Amen, Sherry? I'll lead her brother to the Lord. Jimbo's on his way to Charlottesville for his eye. I'll lead Jimbo's brother to the Lord. Man, both those guys have been known for cussing out preachers and chasing them off. One Trent sat right back there, right beside Miss Kim where her chair is. Trent was known for shooting at preachers' feet, just so you know. He's actually shot at preachers and got them off his property. I didn't know that till afterwards. Amen, Brother Barnes? He went with me that day. Say, why? Bigger target. I can run faster than he can. Wait a minute. Yeah. Can I tell you something? I watched those tough old hard fellers. Somebody finally told them the truth, and very simply, they just bowed their head and trusted Christ as their Savior. Now, if I was relying on me, they're going to eat me. But I didn't rely on me. I just told them what God said. Watch them melt like a bunch of puppy dogs. Watch what God did. So I wonder how many people will die and go to hell. I wonder how many families will go unreached. And I wonder how many people are waiting for someday to come. And by the way, someday never comes. Number four, and I'm done, and you'll be glad. I wonder how many victories will not be won if we don't obey. I wonder how many victories won't be won if we don't obey. I will not be using everybody, but I'm going to use some folks here and some that aren't even here tonight. That's okay. But where would a Don and Debbie Tharp be if somebody didn't obey? They'd be both lost and on their way to hell, and their marriage would be gone. And yet, just a couple months ago, they stood right here and renewed their wedding vows. Baptized them. Say, what was that? Somebody obeyed. Where would a Fred and Wally Skaggs be right now? Searching for the truth. Fred, hard. Not just hard-headed, just flat out hard. And yet, we obeyed. And look how God's used Fred and Wally. I watched Fred grab that oxygen machine and go out knocking on doors. Went with you, I think. By the way, he's in end-stage COPD right now. We don't have him for much longer. But I thank God for him. Amen. Where would Larry and Sherry be had somebody not obeyed? Down that old ugly warehouse building. He walked through the door and said, if you're looking for something fancy, you're going to be disappointed. He said, I don't like fancy. I said, good, you're going to fit in. He sat right back here while I preached that Sunday morning. They both got saved. Whew. Say why? Somebody's willing to obey. I mean this. I wonder where Harry and Kathy would be. Kathy been praying for years for a church close to home. We just about put it right across the street. I remember when they came in the first Sunday. They were skeptical. They've been hurt. Hurt bad. They wanted to find out what kind of church we were and what kind of preacher I was. And they honestly, they didn't want to put their weight down on it. They heard me preach the first time, and I watched Brother Harry look at Kathy, and she was just weeping. Say why? Somebody willing to obey. I wonder where Sam and Jeannie would be. They too have been hurt. Everybody's been hurt. Now Jeannie, she's pretty hard-headed. She's like her dad. Stephen, she's got to be hard-headed. She got you. Don't nod your head too hard. Somebody's got to crack that walnut. But I wonder, if somebody didn't obey, where they'd be. What a blessing. Yes. Good people. Wonder where Brother Juan would be right now. Thank God for Brother Juan. Amen. And out there in the parking lot helping and running and helping the teenagers. And he was in choir practice. He joined the choir. Man, thank God for a young man that's got some chutzpah and got some want to. Amen. Out soul winning every week. Him, Brother Lopez, go out soul winning just about every week. Man, I get excited about that. But I wonder where Brother Juan would be had somebody not been obedient. I'll be honest with you, don't even to this day really yet know how he found us, but we're having church on a Sunday night and he came.
Yes, sir. Praise the Lord.
Whew. I wonder where the Stansberries would be. Had somebody not been willing to obey. Man, they got a passel full of kids and a horrible work schedule, but they're here every chance they get. I wonder where my buddy Trent is in heaven tonight. Brother Barnes, he'd be in hell right now. Sitting there with a cigarette in his hand and a half a cup of coffee, and he couldn't get the half a cup of coffee down. So much cancer in his stomach and his throat. Put the cigarette down, listened to me give him the gospel, and bowed his head and trusted Christ. Went to the hospice and was dying. Said, I got to get out. The preacher's having his church in his new building. I got to get out and go to church with him. He got out of hospice to come to our first church service in this building. Brought Darlene with him. Nobody could believe they walked through the doors of this church. Believe me. It was miraculous that he got out of hospice. I mean, that man was dying. Came two Sundays out of three. And on the fourth week, went to heaven. I wonder where Chris Cave would be right now. You don't know the story like I do. But again, somebody hurt. Kevin, good people. Thank God for them. I wonder where Mrs. Shoebridge would be. Some scrawny half-nuts preacher knocked on her door when she lived back here, telling them we're going to clear this lot and build a church in front of their house and make sure we'd be a good neighbor to them. She started asking questions about what kind of church we were and came to church and brought her sister, Mrs. Diener, and brought her family. And boy, we've seen some folks saved and some lives changed. Say, why was that? Somebody willing to obey? How about a Randy and a Leanne Kelly? What a godsend. I won't belabor the story, but again, people have been hurt. Thank God, God brought them here.
Yes, sir.
They found somebody just as nuts as they were. Well, not quite as nuts as her, but she's real quiet till you get to know her. Then hang on. She can get pretty snotty real fast. She's a lot of fun. Yeah. And, Randy, she's got to be to keep up with you. Yeah. The top of his head's getting red right now. Oh, I love it. Sweet people, precious people, God's using here. But I wonder where they'd have gone had somebody not been willing to obey. What do you mean, preacher? Their church didn't have church on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. Found a church that had church on Sunday night and Wednesday night and found out they wanted to be a part of this mess. I wonder where Joe and Ashley and Gus and his kids would be. I remember standing outside the door and I said, I promise you, just keep coming. I don't care what the doctors say. Just keep coming. You let us love on that boy long enough and you'll find out. I know how skeptical Mama was. She'd seen a lot of people tell her otherwise. But I'm here to tell you, Gus is going to be my church greeter one of these days. He's going to be standing right out there shaking hands, greeting people when they come through the door. Watch Ashley get saved and baptize her. We're still waiting on Joe to get saved. Now that I got a baptistry big enough, we can baptize it. Oh, my. Thank God for Joe and Ashley and those kids. Precious. But I wonder, Brother Mike, where they'd be. Yeah. A little couple started coming on the bus route. Billy Joe and Tomas. Moss was in my Sunday school class this morning. He doesn't speak much English. But boy, God's changed his life since he got saved. Brother Joe witnessed to him in Spanish and wanted him to Christ in Spanish. God's got a hold of him. I mean, God's got a hold of him. He's grabbed the bull by the horns and he's leading the family now. And let me tell you, he's got other people getting ready to come to church because of his testimony.
Amen.
Say, that little quiet guy? Yeah, that little quiet guy. Works on a farm. Don't mess with him. I wonder where Karen Thompson would be. She came in quietly, sat in the back here. Started crying while I was preaching. I have that effect on people from time to time. She'd already been saved. She couldn't believe there was a church like this. And of all things, I got up and preached against the Sodomites the first week she was here. I talked to her a week or so later, and she said, I need to leave the church I'm in because they're now flying the Sodomite flag. She said, it did my heart good to hear you say what you said. I thought, whew, it was duck or pucker, and I didn't know which was coming. Boy, she joined the church, and what a sweet addition she is. I wonder where a Miss Kim would be. Thank God for Miss Kim.
Amen.
Unbelievable. I cannot imagine Grace Baptist Church without Kim. I can't. I really can't. I could go on and on and on about everybody, even Miss Marcia.
Amen.
She's in the nursery tonight, where she belongs. She's with her age group. Yes, I hear you, Marcia. Can I say something? Thank God somebody was willing to obey. Let's face it. None of us would be here if somebody hadn't obeyed. None of us. I hate to even say this, but how many families should be here that aren't here because we haven't gone after them? Who's not here tonight that should be here tonight because we've wasted an opportunity? Let's not be guilty of those five wasted days like Jonah. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. Five days. That's all. I wonder how many days we have ruined, wasted. I wonder how many lives have not been reached because of us.